tonight by showing you guys a picture of what true love is. Are you ready? Is this a picture from your wedding album? No. This one.
Aww.
And, well, it's what it says, too. That is true love. If you guys have Legos in your home and you have stepped on them and you're admitting that you will for your husband, that is true love.
At our house, it's little miniature dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, those. Yeah, you could probably think of a whole bunch of little things that we step on. So I thought I'd start with a visual. Tonight, we will be looking at chapter 3, Love Your Husband. And it is actually an honor, as well as my mandate, as a Titus 2 older woman, to teach the younger woman and to love their husbands and their children. And though I will be teaching you as a group tonight, I encourage all you young moms and women to seek out an older woman, an older godly woman, so that you can be taught even more specifically. And when I say older and godly, I mean those women who have dealt with loving their husbands and children. They're still dealing with loving their husband and children, realizing that they are still being sanctified, and we are too. And we might not have done it perfectly, but the direction is Christ-centered. So I encourage you gals to do that. Okay, let's look at the very front, chapter 3, Love Your Husband, and let's read that Paul Tripp. Does everybody have a copy? We're all good? Okay. At the foundational level, the difficulties in our marriages do not first come because we don't love one another enough. They happen because we don't love God enough. And because we don't love God enough, we don't treat one another with the kind of love that makes marriage work. This is chapter 3 for a reason. Chapter 1 and 2 needs to be fully grasped so that you can know how to love your husband and please in pleasing the Lord. It's having the foundation as well as the spiritual disciplines. By being in God's word and prayer, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to redirect or refocus your heart and mind to what he wants, to change you so that you are conformed to the image and made complete in Christ. And when it comes to being married, that happens, right? I'm getting blank stares, you guys, except for a smile, I appreciate that. So let's dive in. I'm gonna bring out the old glasses. Let's look at this next page, number 22. And I'm going to read paragraph 1. When you are first drawn to your husband, date, get engaged, and get married, he is all you can think about. You are content in that time frame to have him and him alone. That is good and right. After all, a family is a family, even without any children. Genesis 2:24 tells us, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Keep in mind that children are not part of the one flesh. They are the bonus rewards. So you got married, you had the wedding, you had the honeymoon, and then you come home and you have your unique family unit. Genesis 2:18 says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" And a Titus 2 woman that said to me long ago, it was funny, she said, even in the 20th century, so I can say to you guys, even in the 21st century, that's so, so key. It is important to remember that marriage is neither a social convenience or an invention for living together. It is ordained by God to be a covenant of companionship, and you are to be a mutual complement with your husband. So let's look at the next paragraph. If you are married, your husband is the most important human in the world to you. He is your friend, lover, confidant, boss and coworker, holder of your hand, maintainer of your car. He is the main reason you wear what you wear, cook what you cook, Plan your schedule as you plan it. If we are truly seeking to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ, then we follow Christ's example to say no to our wants and yes to God and others' wants. And that is dying to self. In Luke 9, 23 through 24, and he was saying to them, and that's Jesus, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Elizabeth Elliot has said, and this is the clear meaning of sacrifice, deny, give up, relinquish, surrender. Also, she said, a Christian marriage is built on sacrifice each for the other. It is a lifelong no to myself and yes to the other, a sublime and intimate union, a call to spousal love as defined by Christ and the church. The husband represents Christ and the wife, the bride of Christ. What an awesome privilege for each one of us, but it will cost. You are to serve your husband following the example of Jesus in the self-sacrifice modeled by the Lord Jesus. Biblical love is demonstrated in God's sacrificial love of sending his only begotten son to die for our sins, as in John 3:16. Then we continue at the bottom part of that second paragraph where it says, Paul even says in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians how we are not our own in marriage. Our very bodies belong to each other. In verse 34, Paul specifies, but one who is married is concerned about the things of the one is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And who are we to please first? I kind of wanted to back up on that one. And I feel like I'm talking to my little discoverers back in the old days. Who do we please first? God. Colossians 1:10 says, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I've said this, I think, at Tabby's shower as well in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. And he said, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the first commandment, love God. The second one, love your neighbor as yourself. We all know, according to the Jesus Good Samaritan story, that our closest neighbor is the one we're with at the time. So first, I want to go to how do we love God? Again, we go back to the first two chapters of this book. How is your priority in spending time in the Word? And what is your commitment to prayer? I once heard a woman say, we have the time. We need to make the time for our Lord in his Word and prayer daily. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And it's not the world's success, it's success in being obedient to the Lord. In order to fulfill your marriage responsibilities faithfully, to love your husband, you must rely on the Lord's strength and the wisdom of his word. If you're not in the Word daily, examining your heart before God using his Word, it will be more difficult for you to love your husband biblically and consistently. When Joe and I were first married, and it's going to be 33 years of sanctification and joy this Friday, to God be the glory, he was the neatnik. And I was the slob. I cleaned, you know, with my parents and stuff, and my mom trained me, but I thought, oh, goody, my own home. I don't have to clean it as much. Nah. I had to clean it even more because Joe had allergy issues too. So I had to learn to please my husband by cleaning more than I used to. and I begrudgingly cleaned for Joe, grumbling, complaining as I'm dusting the coffee. I remember the end tables we had. There were these old end tables, and I'm dusting under and tables and legs. But as I was in the Word, I saw where I was to please and glorify the Lord in all I do. According to 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, I'm to do it to God's glory. And Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. My heart attitude changed, and I realized I was ultimately cleaning for the Lord. And when I had that perspective, I actually joyfully cleaned. And I actually really like it now. It's kind of, after 33 years, it's like, especially after you have children, you know, it's kind of like, oh, you know, I need to have this clean. So my heart changed with the power of God's word because I was in it. And that's so, so key. So back to our the book on the third paragraph there. It is good and right and downright sanctifying to wholeheartedly pursue what your husband prefers. While clear directives of scriptures are to be obeyed without compromise, preferring your husband in matters of preference or opinion is the loving thing to do. In Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. So are you giving preference to your husband? And what's neat is we're going to talk about the cool exercises we had to do at the end, which I hope you guys did, because that's going to help you on the preference to your husband. Philippians 2:3 through 4 says, and you think you guys know it, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And in the verses after is our supreme example, the Lord Jesus Christ. So many of you have heard my air conditioning story, so I'm going to do it in a nutshell. But this is Philippians 2, 3 through 4. You know the air conditioning story. This is Philippians 2, 3 through 4 in action. I was the air conditioning queen, being raised in apartments where the air conditioning was part of the rent. It was running all the time. I was born and raised in the D.C. area, which is just as hot in the summer as Florida. And Joe was raised in an old home in New Jersey with no central air. After we were married, I moved into Joe's condominium in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., where we had to pay for the air conditioning. And Joe explained, I think the first week of marriage, that we aren't going to run the air a lot. I'm looking at him terrified. I'm like, if I'd known this before, you know, I don't know. Because it costs a lot of money. And so we didn't. But I did talk to him in the for the evenings. I said, okay, can we at least run it in the bedroom? Please. So I suffered and grumbled the first summer where it was humid and hot. And I realized, again, being in the Word of God, that the irritation was a signal that I needed to change. Our heart is revealed by how we respond to adversity. So the following spring, approaching our first anniversary, it started getting hot and humid early. I couldn't believe it. We were sitting in our living room one evening, and I started to sweat. And I truly wanted to obey God. So instead of complaining, I decided to quote Philippians 2, 3, and 4 in my mind. And I prayed for God. I'll never forget it. Prayed for God for help. Did I mention it was hot? And humid. The windows were open. And that's just sweats coming down.
No breeze.
So, no breeze, no. We tried the breeze thing, too. Just as I was rejoicing over the victory of obedience, Joe asked if I wanted the air conditioning on.
Aww.
That was Philippians 2, 3, and 4, a moment I will never forget in our marriage. The power of God's word, because we both were doing it. We were both looking at the other for others' needs. And so that was a real blessing that I'll never forget. So biblical submission is an act of the will demonstrated by serving others out of an attitude that regards them as more important than yourself. Again, denying self. This goes against everything in our flesh and human nature and the worldly system that is getting worse and worse out there. That's one another reason I can't emphasize being in the Word every day and showing your love for the Lord by praying to Him. So I am now going to read the verses that are read at marriages a lot. Whether they are ever read again in their marriage, I don't know, but we have also heard it taught about a year ago. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8a. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Even if your husband does not practice biblical love, you can still be at peace and can do your part to foster harmony in your home by being obedient to God's word. But you have to know it to do it. So again, immerse yourself in the word of God. Instead of taking offense, pray for him in that moment, because you don't know what's going on in his heart. And if you take into account a wrong suffered from him, you're not loving him. And the Bible does not say, because I looked for it, if he doesn't love me, I don't have to love him. Nah, it doesn't work that way. And remember that you're not responsible to change your husband, as Jill was even praying, but you're responsible to examine your heart according to Matthew 7, 1 through 5, where Jesus says in verse 5, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So we're going to shift a little now. Whether you are a wife who works inside the home with or without children, or a wife who works outside the home, and you're exhausted either way, let's read that last paragraph, that last part on page 22 in the middle where it says, "What's a girl to do?" Put feet to faith. This is one of those moments when you preach truth to yourself and not listen to your flesh. The moment when you realize the words "deny yourself and take up your cross" are not about getting a me moment. They require a desperate prayer to the Lord for strength in your weakness and for joy in the trials. They require one more opportunity to love the man who has been gone all day and working hard too, the one who needs to cherish and be cherished by his best friend, the one whom you promise to be there in sickness and health, for better, for worse, including in your busiest day. What a joy to be wanted by your love. Remind yourself that agape love is self-sacrifice, not rose-colored feelings. The commitment you made to God must supersede selfishness in these moments. This is your best love. This love that cost. This is Christ's love. This is self-sacrifice. When I had four children ages six and under, a dear woman at the church asked how I was doing. I went on and on about children, and she asked, "Well, what about Joe?" I knew why she was asking, because I didn't say a word about him. I was talking all about the kids. But I realized I was so busy with the kids, I had put him on the back burner, and I needed to bring him to the forefront again. I had to redirect, and you'll have those moments. You need to redirect. So, now the fun part. Okay. Hey, that's my sound effect for the night. Transition noise. Okay. Page.
Love you for your sound effects.
Okay, so the how-tos. The ladies of Saving Grace Bible Church compiled a list of ways you can practically show love to your husband. These are 100 little ways that you can start. So this is really cute. I really enjoyed this in here, but I want to make sure that everybody has, number one, love God more than your husband. Did everybody have that as number one on your little how-to? Okay. If you have a pen, you're going to do a little line and then an arrow and an arrow, because love God more than your husband should be number one, and die to self should be number two. So after you read this list, is there any you guys would like to share where you've had victory or need improvement?
Glad I don't have my book open, because I don't have to confess.
Here you go. Would anyone like to share?
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
I was talking to me.
Oh.
When you were talking. Did you correct the last sentence in the paragraph above? 100 other little ways for each different husband.
Did I even read this? Oh my goodness.
I don't know.
I might have done that. Just keep that mechanically go along.
You read it, but you didn't say anything.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, no one didn't say there was a correction.
This is one of the dirty copy issues right here.
And we can tell. No, because we also switched one and two. Because one should be love God more than husband, and then two, die to self.
Thank you.
Yes. So any, like, pray, number three, pray for your husband. Are you praying every day for your husband? And with scripture, and you can do Colossians 1:10, so that he may walk in a manner worthy of you, Lord, today, pleasing you in all respects. So find those scriptures. Philippians 1, it's another one. You know, pray for your husband. Is there anything else? Communicate. Number 7, 3 times. That is so key. Even when you, oh yeah, another funny story. First week of marriage, I was the pouter. Mm-hmm. You just upset me. I'm not talking to you. Well, Joe was so sweet. He sat down and said, you know, sweetheart, this is not going to work. We need to biblically communicate. I'm like, that's right.
So, he was doing mutual conversation.
Yeah, pretty much. So he, I knew he was right. So communicate's huge, even when you've been offended. Say, I took into account a wrong suffered. Okay, ladies, help me out here. Is there anything? Number 9 will be discussed more in the intimacy chapter. I got a kick out of that one. Yeah.
Meg's like, Jill, I know you never. So we will clear that out. For example, you know, I go to school for programming, not for profits and different things, schedules. So I plan Father's Day to the minute, you know, 9 o'clock, the kids are cooking with breakfast, this is going to happen at 9:17. After a couple years of that, I got an email. He's a computer guy.
That's how he communicates.
You know, so for success, for him to be a successful father, I had to learn not to plan. You know? And the other nice little thing I did was I love the Christian bookstore. I love CBD. I love Christian books. He has a nightstand. He never uses it. I kind of, you know, you could read Leaving a Legacy for Your Children. You could read, you know.
Here's some books, honey.
How to Love Your
Wife. I'm going to pile back to about 32 or 33 books. And he says, honey, I'm a little behind. You know, you could put those books on your bookshelf.
Oh.
So when you do success, you have to do all these things before that. It has to be, you have to listen to him.
Yes.
And follow him and not run ahead of him. Because you're excited. You know, it was all meant well, but
right.
Not making him successful.
Very good.
Overwhelmed.
So I don't know if any of you have done that, but I'm a planner, so I have everything on plan up for the next 30 years.
Ooh.
I
have to show up. Each day. Well, and what's neat is that you listened. I think that's key, too. It's being teachable, you know, when you're like, ah, that's my thing.
Right.
It's,
oh, I was ready. You know,
yeah. Right. But loving him was the listening.
Yeah, but we want to love them the way we like to be loved, and we want to learn what blesses them. And God is so great about most often putting us together with an opposite.
Right. Yes.
Which is challenging.
Yeah. I'm dark chocolate, he's white chocolate. That's how we do it. Because he loves white
You're
chocolate.
You're both sweet.
Yeah.
One's
a
little
better. Oh, yeah. That's good. Oh, that's good. Now, number 15. Ask what he wants done and do what he asks. Now, I thought of you, Meg, because you have a whiteboard system. Could you share that?
So, if Jake wants something done, this is the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
I have a little whiteboard in my kitchen that he writes it on there. Because he'll tell me in passing sometimes that I have the tendency to say, oh, okay, and not really be listening.
Yeah.
So, I have him write it on there every single day so I know if he needs something done.
You need
and it's even more accountability too, because then I know he told me. Mm-hmm. He knows that I know, so it can't be just like, "Oh, I forgot."
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the systems that we worked out. But sometimes he forgets, so sometimes I still text him if there's nothing on there.
Right, and that's the beauty. We got texting that works as well, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's making sure, you know, how we don't respond sometimes to people. It's making sure you got it and put it on the whiteboard or.
And doing
or that.
It, I have had to learn too to do it first thing.
Yeah. There you go.
I often do the things that I want to first, and then it's like 5 o'clock, he's on his way home, and I know I gotta scramble to get it done. And that doesn't show well for my kids either.
Right.
I just do it right before dad gets home.
Yeah.
But do it well and do it first.
Right. Exactly. To the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Was there anything else on here for anybody?
Slightly, like 33. Do you mean like you discuss like who you go to get suggestions on how to help him?
That's saying.
That's what that's saying.
Yeah. This was if in biblically confronting him on something and he's not hearing it, seeing it, you work through it, and you guys possibly have agreed that there's someone that you can bring in, say as a mediator or an older man than him, either his discipler or the pastor, whoever it may be. Now that's something like Mark and I specifically talked about, and at one point, because I was feeling a little stuck, like what do I do if you don't hear me, you know, who am I going to talk to? So, you know, we agreed that I would let him know that I was emailing his uncle or Todd Murray, or, you know, like somebody, even separate from the church for him, you know, that wasn't in the middle of it all. So, yeah.
My husband and I also worked out a something where he gave me permission to talk to one of my good friends, somebody that he respects and knows would give me wise advice about something if we were struggling in a certain area and I needed to have someone to talk to openly about issues that the two of us were having. So I had a friend that I could go to and talk to that he felt comfortable knowing that. Okay, if Shannon's in the wrong, she's going to confront her and tell her that she needs to make things right. If I'm wrong, she'll also give her good advice and help us work through this. And that's been helpful to me to know that I have someone that
that's
I can talk to about something that he's okay with. It's not like I'm gossiping or slandering him behind his back. So.
Right, you're going for a solution.
Right.
That's what's key.
Do you want to talk about that for a second, Beth?
The solution?
While we're there. Who you can tell things to.
Well, kind of, I could think what Shannon, if you can find that person and you both agree, that's important. But the whole issue between, and I think even Mark's talked about it a year ago in the women's thing, when it's gossip when I go to somebody and I start talking about Lisa, oh, did you see Lisa do that? You know, and that's gossip. If it is something where, wow, I need help on an issue with Lisa and we're discussing a solution, then it's not gossip. It's we're going for a solution, kind of like what you guys have when you're going outside of your you know, husbands, you're going to Todd or whoever this person is, then you're, if you're going for a solution to the problem, then it is not, it's not gossip.
It's Mark's definition.
Yep.
That's the one that I just wanted. I remember him saying that it's not gossip if you're going to somebody who can help you.
Right, exactly.
Then it's not.
Yeah, exactly. So that's very key, but it's a fine line. So be careful.
Yeah, and it comes too from a history of, you know, women feeling stuck in a situation where they're told by their husband, you can't talk to anyone about our situation because then you're gossiping. Well, you have to understand if you're going for someone who can help you
in,
you know, an area that's not getting resolved.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny, it could be that the husband, if you say, I'm going for help, oh yeah, you go. You go. It's you.
It's you.
So go get that help, honey. You know? So it's like, okay, sweetheart. But anyway, sorry I threw that in there, but I had to. Okay, any others? I had 19 down. Oh, make your home a place he wants to be. Make home a refuge where he is loved and wanted. One thing that Joe wanted when we lived in Utah is, can I please come home? To a home that's quiet, just for a little bit. We have three boys and a girl. So we would work with that, and we did it. It's neat, right through dinner. But then after, he's out there making noise. So he just needed that transition because he's in an office where it's quiet. He comes home and it's me, you know, energy, blah, 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 everywhere. So anyway, so it's studying, it's looking, and it's neat because when we get to the next page, it's going, well, that's 23. Study him, know him. So let's turn the page to 25. But I do want to just emphasize communication since that was three on communication, communicate, communicate, communicate. I found some proverbs that I wanted to read. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. So again, it's praying for the right time to talk to your husband about something. And like apples of, in Proverbs 25:11-13, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. So that's very important. And then I'm going to throw in Ephesians 4:29 because it's so practical. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment. So it gives grace to those who hear. Okay. I wanted to add, I don't know if anyone asked me about these little things here. These little... But continue to have, even with children, have date times continually. Make sure you're having one-on-one time as well. I'm just kind of throwing that out as one of the many little things there. Make time alone with your husband. I think that's what happened to Joe and I. Really did. We stopped date nights when we had kids.
Right.
You know, and so.
That should be number 40 then.
Yeah, it should be number 40. Thank you, Janet.
Duly noted.
Oh, if we can think of any more, get him to Jill. There you go. Oh, there you go then. Good. So I'm going to give you guys a continued homework assignment. Go through this list. Pick out the ones that you really do need to work on. Prioritize and then do them. Do them. I'm going to do the same thing. This was fun. What's that?
I'm hoping I learned these during this study.
Yes. Well, you will, but if there's stuff that you know you can do.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to keep these young gals accountable, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes, we are. We're going to see you in the hallways at church.
We're going to ask. It says, am I available to be a sounding board in problem solving for work, people, or ministry if needed? Just, I've learned the importance of, and I'm still learning it, of just listening when he's discussing those things.
Yes.
So they say a lot of times, the man will be problem solver, because I think Jake will help me to solve his problems when he doesn't. So just listening, and I remember I was even talking to you about that once. So I think you just said just listen and don't give input. And like, apparently I don't do that often, because at the end of it, I was like, wow, thank you for just listening.
Ooh.
Like, he noticed.
Wow.
Sweet. But that he needs me to be a sounding board for him.
Yes.
Often, and just listen. you know, just instead of critiquing what he's saying, just listening.
That is excellent. And Linda Masella has a wonderful example of that as well. The same type of thing where she just needed to listen when he was going through a hard time with his job. Mm-hmm. And they need that, just to listen.
And Linda says
just like
she
me.
Knows everything about auto repair. So,
that's right.
You know, think about your husband's job.
There you go. There you go.
You get to be the second expert in it.
That's right.
Number 12. On your very techie. And now that he works from home and he doesn't have coworkers to talk to, I start drawing diagrams, I can follow along.
Visual.
Yes. It's so hard to do when he talks coding and
I understand.
Oh.
Mine's with football.
Oh, with football.
And he talks a lot.
I know.
I'm bad sometimes. He'll be talking to me on the phone and there's so much stuff going on and I'll just put the phone down and walk away and I'll come back and he's still talking to me. So I have to work on that.
Put it on speaker. Yeah, bring it where you go. Oh my goodness.
Like me and Phil, we're in the same field, but he works in a different aspect of it and I don't like listening to his side at all.
So it's denying self, huh?
Yeah.
There it is in action.
And taking interest because it's what they do all day long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep.
I have a question. One question that kind of just threw me off. It's like, in what ways am I setting him up for success as a spiritual leader? Like, I stay out of that. in the sense that I understand, it's like, I don't tell him what to do in the church, or I don't tell him, you know, hey, you know, you should read the Bible here, or you know, I'll encourage him, but what does that question mean, success as a spiritual leader? Like,
first you pray for him.
Okay.
You have to pray scripture for him. Pray.
Yeah.
Next, you be obedient to the Lord. You be obedient in loving your husband. You be obedient in raising your children.
Mm-hmm.
And then pray that the Lord will, you know, specifically that the Lord will bring someone across his path as well.
Okay.
And you know, and you can do like Cheryl, put the books. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I mean, those are my thoughts. Any other thoughts from the?
Well, on that one, I did have to learn. So then I take the pile away and I start teaching the kids something. And along comes husband and says, "Oh, that's great what you're doing. I'm taking that over tomorrow."
Oh, that's pretty good.
So you have to deny yourself and enjoy. And I just, what would you like?
That's right.
For me, it's just providing the opportunity, you know, making sure that, you know, Friday night we're having game night and there are conversations that'll happen during that, or making sure that Emma is in bed at 8 o'clock so that he goes in there and he prays with her and he goes through the word with her, making sure that there's dinner on the table with the spiritual conversations happen at the table. It's harder with Sarah now because you have to be really purposeful with that. I think 87 days left and she's so you have to be really purposeful about creating those. And he's busy. He doesn't have time to do that, but to create that opportunity where we can have some conversation with Sarah and with Davis, you have to make it happen as the wife because you're controlling what happens at home. They're flying in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another side to this question too, Olga, is husbands that tend to be quieter, more introverted, or avoid controversy, women will say, okay, well, if he's not going to leave, then I will.
Mm-hmm.
So they step into the role, and it just pushes the husband further down from being the leader. And so if you're in that kind of personality difference there, you know, what can I do to encourage him in this way and not, as they say, wear the pants in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So making those opportunities to allow him to be successful however God has made him, or even without nagging, encouraging.
Yeah, that's what I want to stay away from. I don't want to nag him.
Exactly.
I want to be his mom.
Yes.
I just want to make sure I don't step over that line and, you know, hey, you know, you should read to your kids. And he's like,
yeah, and a lot of these come into play together. So you even have, it says 22, don't be his mother, be his wife. Which I have one friend who has said that a lot, and it just really kept sticking in my head. And then there's another one about 36, allow him to be the dad he is. And so you're not like constantly correcting his parenting in front of the kids, or, oh no, daddy meant blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So there's all those different ways these things overlap.
That's good.
And also be just like when your kids ask a question, like a spiritual question or whatever, to point them to their father.
Or just
he's around too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like I still do that.
Call
dad. No.
I was just going to say too, I think it's just a general demeanor of your husband knows, like, I love when you lead. I'm going to do whatever I can to help support you in that. So even if it's, you know, how do I help free you up so that you can serve in the ministries that you want to in the church and different things like that. Like if he gets excited about, yeah, I want to start praying with the kids at night, you know, you're excited about it too. Mm-hmm. And you're not saying, well, we missed tonight. You know, and just kind of like,
nice.
Just
oh
being
my goodness.
Supportive and there. And I love when you lead.
Yes. Perfect. Yes, Amber.
Can you explain your book purchases, like were you buying the books, Sharon, to like have your husband read them, like as a suggestion to him, or were you buying them for yourself?
I'd already read them, and then I was like, hey, you need to read this.
It was
like
very long hours,
you know? After that, nothing was put on his nightstand, you know, for him to read, you know, unless he asked him to purchase it, which he's done now, but that was not.
That's right. Yeah.
After that, we had conversations about what he wanted more. It did open that door very wide. You know, you got to follow their lead, like you were saying. When they come in, is there any resources you want? What do you want me to do? And it became, would you look for a family conference? Honey, I'm really busy during the week. I would like once a year to go away to a family conference, take the kids and do that. And then he would make purchases at a conference, either Ligonier or Adventure or Creation Museum, you know, or other conferences we went to. And then that just naturally flowed.
Another thing is good. My husband, he has a bit of a drive to work, so he does audiobooks, and that's helped him tremendously. And he says that's my golden time. You know, he's praying, meditating, and he's listening to wonderful audiobooks. As an option.
Very good. Absolutely. That is perfect. Okay. On page 25, I want to look at the favorites and talk about that just for a little bit. Did you fill out your husband's favorites?
I had a question about that.
Sure.
There's some questions that are repeated.
Yes.
Okay, was that meant to happen? Or?
That's for us to really get it.
I X like, mine up.
What's your favorite breakfast again? No. So no, I X my out too. You write it twice, then you'll have it. It's funny, after all this time being married to Joe, I asked him, and it was so much fun. And he was having
fun.
A hard time. He was like, so I was actually telling him, well, you like eggs for breakfast. You know, let's go, we got to move it here. You like eggs and ham.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, well, I like the peach oatmeal, too. I said, okay, I can write that down. I said, how about lunch? Because unfortunately, and this is where love is patient, right? I had to kick in the love is patient. So I'm like, favorite lunch? He's thinking. And I'm like, honey, you like the cinnamon sweet potatoes with the cottage cheese. So anyway, it was fun. I knew his favorite snack and restaurant. But anyway, this was fun to do. If you have not done this, please do. Because you know what does, especially if you ask them? It's showing that you want to know and you care, you know, and this is a time alone you guys have. The kids are in bed. Do this, because it was really, really fun to do. Then your next thing
I get looking for dessert though.
Yeah.
Jill said dessert. Yeah, dessert. You said Mark liked molasses cookies, so I'm looking for
dessert. Yeah, I asked Mark's favorite cookie this week, and I'm
surprised. That's funny.
Yeah, and my husband, changes.
That's right. Very good. Keep asking. And what I'm going to say too is use this as a blessing list for your husband. You know, if, you know, oh yeah, like my husband loves seafood. Well, I don't like seafood. And when I make seafood, it makes me nauseous.
Well, you and Jill and Mark and Joe.
Yeah, Mark and Joe me
and Dan
somewhere, and you and I.
Exactly.
Because oh.
There you go. That's all.
See,
that.
When Mark and I go out, we get seafood.
Right.
And I get chicken or steak.
There you go.
Yep. So it's, but you know that, and it blesses. You know when I'm eating that salmon, because I know it's good for me too. That's how I do it. Yeah, and I try to doctor it up. I put a lot of stuff on it. But he's enjoying his salmon, and I'm like, okay, am I done yet? Let's eat a broccoli with cheese. Okay, yeah, that's helping me out.
Did anyone else think of a question that's not on this the favorite?
For the favorite part?
Anything else you didn't? Or you thought of? Or
favorite color?
Favorite car?
Oh, favorite car.
Whoa. One with air conditioning.
Amen, girl. Interesting.
Megan and I have talked about different people's pet. We call it their pet theology.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you know your friend's pet theology?
I got to figure out mine. No.
So
I'll ask him when I go down. I will ask him when I go home tonight. Very good.
Favorite live preacher.
And then the. So the questions at the bottom of 25 also, if you haven't, please answer these questions because it gives you perspective as well. Like for me, you know, I realize I do need to purposely encourage him. You know, you're going through everyday stuff and, you know, just encouraging him. And I think we had talked this in an event one time where, you know, the trimming of the bushes. And, you know, he does that. I don't have to go out in the heat. He'll trim the bushes. And thank you, honey, for maintaining the lawn and the outside. And it looks really nice. That way I don't have to, you know. Thank you so much. So finding ways to encourage him.
Who is that?
The third one.
What weaknesses can I encourage him in most? Well, no, that wasn't
it.
Was. Or what are his strengths? And his strengths are he goes out there and he sweats and trims those bushes. Without complaint, he's out there making it look nice. Having an HOA kind of is the push, but anyway, please go, how can I bless him? You know, take these favorites and make sure that you make that a part, you know, especially the food part. So please, that's here, it's a wonderful resource. Answer these questions. When you're being a doer of the word, it will help you that much more not to be judgmental or critical of your husband. And doing these things also, bless you, will encourage both of you. So, any other questions on favorites or these questions down here? This is a quote of John MacArthur from his sermon on Titus 2. You are to love your husband. And this is an exact quote, so it's kind of, you could almost hear him say this. Listen, that doesn't mean that you're going to feel the rockets and hear the bells and the whistles. I read Newsweek magazine 2 weeks ago. In their edition, they said, that goes in about 2 years of marriage because of chemical changes. He said, isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Marriage isn't all rockets, bells, and whistles. It's a contented commitment with an occasional rocket and maybe a bell and a whistle now and then. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that to a devotedness, to a level of friendship that runs deep and satisfying. And I'll tell you how it works. If you don't love your husband, then you need to train yourself to love your husband. The way you train yourself to love your husband is to continue to serve and serve him and do every good thing and every kind thing and every gracious thing and every magnanimous thing, and you will make such a massive investment in him, you will say, I got too much in this guy not to love him. It is a sin to disobey this command. It is sacrificial love. It is not necessarily the love of emotion. It's the love of the will and a deep commitment. And that's where healthy relationships begin. It's that kind of love in Philippians 2 talks about, where it says, and this is what Philippians 1 and 2 starts with, if there is any love, then do this. And then he goes into 3 and 4. Let no man look on the things of his own life, but the things of others. Let each esteem others better than himself. It's that sacrificial, humble, condescending, self-effacing love. So as we love God fully, by loving our husbands willingly and joyfully, we will truly find the joy of the Lord in our marriage. I'm going to end it with portions of Proverbs 31, 10 through 12, and then 25 through 31. And then I'm going to pray. And then we can do more questions too. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your word shows us how to love our husbands in so many ways, Lord. Your word shows us how to love you. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit in us that does convict, comfort, and guide us in this area of being a wife. Lord, I pray for each woman in here. I pray that your Holy Spirit would take what is said and apply it in their lives. I pray that they would take the practical things in this chapter, Lord, and use them. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a church that has the Titus 2 mentality, where the older women seek the younger women and the younger women seek the older women to help them in such a way where they can seek you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So do you guys have any questions or comments?
What it says, in what ways can I protect you spiritually?
Is that one of the questions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, in what ways can I protect him spiritually, physically, emotionally, and socially?
Right.
I'm going to start with prayer again. The biggest way you can protect your husband is praying for him. Huge. I can't emphasize enough. Every single day we need to be praying for our husbands. And that, I mean, these are actually questions for you. That is one, I mean, that's one way spiritually you can protect him. You being obedient to the word of God can spiritually protect him as well. I mean, we're going to get to the, you know, I'm going to get into it, Meg, I'm so sorry. But we're going to get into the intimacy thing. If we keep saying no to our husband, no to our husband. I know, poor Meg. We're going to have to do a meme for Meg about this. No, teasing. And we'll just show it to our little group. But no, I'm just kidding.
That's
but
how we get people to do that.
If we you're our scapegoat. She won't be here now for that chapter, no. But if we keep saying no and no to our husband when it comes to intimacy, you know, that's, boy, that's rough. We're not protecting our husbands that way. That's, I guess, the physical part, but that messes them up spiritually too, because he's, you know, it's like, it's something, he leads them into temptation. So that's a very good question. But, I mean, does anyone else have anything for that question as well? Those are, again, I just keep going back to prayer.
Yeah, I mean, you could tempt him away from being at church, you know, by having other things you want to go do, or not allowing him to attend men's study because you've got plans every Saturday, so then he's not growing in, you know, that time with the other men and fellowship and the challenge. So that's a spiritual thing. Protect his time in the Word and not be jealous for his time sometimes. We wives who want all their attention in their home, and guy can't even read his Bible. So those are some other ideas. Did anyone else?
Yeah. I think one thing that we learned at the family conference one time in Kentucky was writing out 20 verses just for your husband and having them commit them to memory. And or more, you know, considerably more verses in the Bible. But then you find that if you're listening and doing all these things that she's mentioned in this chapter, and you start pivoting those verses to memory, you're going to be covering him in the prayer that Ben was talking about. And it's going to be so unique and for him that he will be protected. As she's talking about when they both prayed about the air conditioning and are giving them one another, you'll find, and I noticed for Rob and I that when we both decided to start doing that for each other, you know, we were married like this, but you become married this close when you're both doing it.
Does that help you, Kelly?
Yes.
Any other questions? Yes, Amber.
What's wrong with the intimacy?
No.
It's awkward to talk about.
It's awkward. What's so funny is Jill put out to the older gals, okay, pick out, here's the ones to pick out. Well, guess what left empty? Wah, intimacy.
It's still empty.
It's still empty. And I may have to switch. I may have to be the one. I don't know yet, but I need to talk to you after about something.
Okay. Well, I was like, Linda Sola and I have now taught this in the group. We've had our red faces and we've done it, you know, because it's God's word. And if we're going to talk about it anywhere, hey, this is the place. Yeah. But we thought, you know, maybe someone else.
Yeah.
Thanks, Meg. We just went from her not coming to her.
I love it. So yeah, it is probably a better one-on-one type topic, but
You
know,
we will be covering it in week 7.
It's in week 7, so.
Who skipped all the way to that chapter? I was like, where is that chapter?
Oh, no, you got to look at the next chapter next.
Yeah. I sought it out.
Yeah. Next is keeping up with your home.
We have a big family, so that's not an intimidating topic.
And you can help
for
people.
For some people, it's more intimidating than for others.
Yes.
I have a question. Like, regarding the goal of this, this is all like to help younger women in the practical application of this stuff. Because when I was reading through this, the one thing that I observed in this Love Your Husband, it's kind of like it's not very verse heavy, but it also doesn't really get into like, okay, give me a verse and then explain that verse about how to love in like a Christ-like way.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that something that was missing because all the questions and all this stuff are fantastic, but I just felt like this was kind of like, okay, we're going to be a little bit more here.
Yeah, so we're hoping that that's what the local ladies will do is...
You did a great job with that.
Right, yes.
Yeah, is bring in the study alongside.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So what I'll be doing is giving... Jill, my notes from tonight, as well as when I taught lesson one before, and she'll start incorporating, I think, a little bit more in the manual. Plus, we're thinking of doing an instructor's guide.
I was gonna ask about
that. That's the same thing.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
I'm working on that too. No, but
you have a lot of things you're having to work
perfectly though, right? Because yes. You have the skeleton here, but then you kind of
exactly
you know,
flesh it out.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's taking what's here and then bringing other stuff in.
Which is why you wouldn't want to just do this by yourself. The mm-hmm. idea is to do it
right.
a group or in a Titus II model. So
mm-hmm.
Certainly, you know, there could be more scripture in different places. There's no denying that fact. But also it does leave you like, oh, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's got to be more mm-hmm. to come together.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anything else? Yes.
Can we talk about communication?
Sure.
Between husband and wife, I mean, especially if you're in a big family, there's a lot of kids, there's a lot going on all the time,
mm-hmm.
and days go by when I need to speak to my husband on an issue, and I'm like, it's 5 days, I'm still like looking for an opportunity to sit down and talk. So how did you ladies do that with like, big families and a lot going on? And I can't even imagine if you have homeschool at home too, like how, where, when, you make an appointment, you know, how did you do that?
Talk to your husband on how that's going to work for both of you, because each one of us can tell you what we do, but it may not work for you too. You do need to, you know, pick a time that's going to be conducive where you will have time alone. That's typically when the children are in bed, you know,
either early in the morning
or early in the morning. And I know your mornings are kind of, yeah. During school, that's a little rough, but...
Get up earlier.
Could be. And with Gracie, I know
that's
that was kind
I've
of
heard.
Rough, too. Yeah, you could do early.
That's what I've heard.
Well, again, it depends upon you and your husband. If you, one of you guys is not a morning person, that's not going to work. And if one's a late, you can't go too late. But you got to find that time that's going to be working for you and your husband. Then what I do, to this day, Joe and I are busy. Every night this week, we've got something going on, but there's things I need to talk to him about. So what I do is I have a piece of paper or on my calendar, man, I need to talk to Joe about that. I need to talk. So I'll have a series of 10 things. And sometimes it may be Saturday morning. It may be that night or, you know, because you don't want to go too late. Our rule was after 10 p.m., you know, it's that's when you could, the temptations may rise to not be patient and kind. So you don't want your bodies to be that temptation to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's finding that right time. You write the stuff down. And he has, you know, him as well, if
mm-hmm.
there's things that he wants to discuss. It's usually the women that want to discuss.
Not in my household.
No, oh real, it's true. I forgot. Yes.
What about
so
on date night too?
Yeah, having the date night you can do that. But at the same time, you two, you
don't
want to
argue.
You want it to be romantic,
yeah.
You know, not romantic, but there's times where we do our date night where we're discussing, I have my list. Okay, we needed to talk about, you know, this, and this.
Yeah, because you don't want to, like, as soon as he walks in and bombard him
yeah.
with like, questions and issues and, you know.
Well, I think that's one of the numbers, too.
Very, yeah, it is.
Like a very hard issue that you want to talk about, and you kind of have to even find a certain moment too, you know, not like, okay, here's an opportunity. I have 10 minutes to say no. You know, there's even like in that, finding the right time where, you know, you have an hour where you know how he's going to react to this certain thing. And you don't want to, you know, put that on him at a certain time where
that's right.
he's not ready.
Could you text him and just ask him and say, I really need to talk to you. Something serious that's probably going to take some time. Can you let me know when it would be a good time for you? And then just wait for him to let you know when it's a good time for him. Sometimes that helps us.
Well, see, that's it. You have to. It depends upon you and your husband.
You might
want to
mention what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a very beautiful thing to some people not know what the time is.
Exactly.
Yeah, he can plan his thoughts about
right.
too.
Because I've done that with Joe. I've texted him and said, okay, this is the situation. Start praying now. But we need to talk about it tonight. So we need to plan a time tonight. So it's however, you know, for you and your husband, how that, you know, works. But yeah, you have to communicate. You really do. Whether it's an issue with a child or ministry, whatever it is. But any other thoughts?
This is where people make appointments.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
You know, that really, it really helps Mark and I to have scheduled times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're like, this is an appointment just like real life. Or we'll say just like a counseling appointment. I need some counseling.
Yeah, exactly. Come in my office, dear.
Yeah, and you know, it's just another area where we can let children run our home where they're never
Amen.
In bed before we are or whatever.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure that they're in bed so we can have time. Maybe yeah. not every single night, you know, you can have
right.
a talk, but there's no reason to, you know, that you can't even put the kids in their rooms for an hour, you know, when it's not quite bedtime. You know, there's different things that you can do. And it may take a little time
mm-hmm.
to train them to do so, but
yeah, that's true.
You gotta make time for the marriage to be even more important. That, you know, to show them that mom and dad are
mm-hmm.
the most important. Yeah.
I've heard some people where when the husband comes home, even they have couch time. I've heard that long ago, and the children, it's go play, and the children see mom and dad communicating, and it doesn't have to be an hour long, but like 15. You know, if there's an issue, it doesn't have to be how was your day type stuff, but okay, we need to talk about la 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 la, and they pray together, and the kids see it modeled too. So there's all kinds of ways.
Yeah, for that one too. My husband wasn't always ready, like right when he got home.
Yeah, mine
was
yeah.
an example. But when the children were cleaning the kitchen, is when we would sit on the couch and talk.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes solve arguments, but yeah, for a while that was a really good time for us to do it while they were eating.
I don't know. I mean, like I don't have kids, but me and him are very busy. We have a lot of work. We have a lot of school that we always go through. And sometimes it's just taking one thing at a time and forgetting about everything else and slowing down. And even just at work, knowing that, you know, you have all these things to do and all of them need to be done. But if you take one thing at a time and you solve that one thing at a time,
mm-hmm.
everything else will fall into place right after.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta remember, I mean, you got a million things to do, but this one thing is very important to you. And it's when you solve that one thing, everything else is gonna be easier to solve. And sometimes talking about something doesn't take quite as long as you thought it was going to in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes a lot longer, but
yeah.
many times like you just need to say it out loud to somebody who you know is going to help you, and it just gets solved that much faster. So it's just really just stopping and not, like, you have to stop and just do one thing at a time. Because all those other things are going to happen anyway, but if you solve a thing that's really weighing on your heart and that's heavy on you and it's pushing on you and it's always there, if you just solve it, everything else will be easier.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? What time? We should find out what time it is. Does this have a time on it? It's probably time.
Do you push record again to turn it off?
I think so.